With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Curzon Podcast. This week we'll be talking about Robert Eggers' horror film, The Witch. Helen is not here this week, so joining me instead is Jenna Hobbs, making her second appearance on the show. Hello, Jenna.
Hello, Sam. Nice to see you.
You too. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good Easter weekend.
Very nice. Yeah, we had a bit of a movie marathon, didn't we?
We did, yeah. We saw Zootropolis, which was great.
Very, very good.
And we saw this. It's an interesting double bill.
It was.
I can't really think of a link.
Animals. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Animals, yeah. So The Witch is about a family in 17th century New England America, and they're banished from their Puritan community for being too Puritan.
Yeah, is that the cause?
I think so. It's not clear.
Yeah.
But it's something to do with, because he's angry that they're not taking the Bible seriously enough.
Yes.
And the fact that he's already in a Puritan community says a lot about this family, I think.
Yeah, I think so. He is very by the book, isn't
he? Yeah, he's full on. That's Ralph Ineson.
Yeah, British actor.
British actor. I know him as Finchy.
Yeah, I was going to say that to you. Yeah.
Finchy, yeah. He's also, he does a lot of TV commercials as voiceover. Mm-hmm. He's got an incredible voice. It's really deep.
I just didn't recognise him at all in this. Okay. I only recognised him when I looked it up. But yeah,
he's this patriarch of this family that go off into the wilderness to become closer to God. God's country, they call it.
Yeah.
And so it's him, his wife, played by Kate Dickey, and they are 5 children.
There's a lot of kids there.
It's a bit confusing at first, like, God, there's so many kids to keep track of and who's who. Mm-hmm. So there's 5 kids, and it skips a few months, and they've built a farm, and things seem to be going okay until the baby, Samuel...
Yes.
Goes missing.
Yeah, and I think that's in the trailer, so that is kind of the key plot point.
That's the kicking off point, I think. That's the inciting incident that starts this...
Everything seems pretty normal until it's very much not.
Very much not, and from then on, it just gets worse for this poor family. I say poor family, they're so extreme.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a real mixture of how sorry for them do you feel, because I mean the way they're living is just so alien to us and the way we would live.
Yeah, and it's their fault kind of for thinking they're better than everyone else, living on their own. Think, oh, we don't need other, and we don't need community, we don't need everyone to tell us how to live our lives.
And
if only they did.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to live with my family in the edge of the woods.
It's called The Witch, a New England folktale sometimes, which I thought was quite interesting because it definitely has a folktale vibe. And almost fairy tale as well.
Yeah, I think so. Especially like in the colour schemes. It's very kind of browns and woodlands and things like that until you get the sharp, like bright red of a cloak or something like that.
Definitely.
That really
and it stands out as well when you see a red cloak.
Definitely.
You know that's not normal in this world.
No.
And also the idea of children being kidnapped by witches is Hansel and Gretel, essentially.
Oh, yeah, you're right there.
And Red Riding Hood, of children being eaten, kidnapped, just this kind of thing.
The woods are very fairy tale, aren't they?
You have to fear the woods and what's in the woods. Mm-hmm. So, getting straight into it, did you like this film, Jenna? It's gonna be Helen then. Did you like this film, Jenna?
Okay. Yes, I did actually. It took me a while after watching it to digest whether or not I liked it.
Good.
Because I think I just felt like I wasn't sure what had just happened for a long time. But thinking about it more and more, it's really one of those, it sticks with you.
It's a slow, it definitely gets under your skin and stays in your mind. I absolutely loved this film, to be honest.
Did you?
I think it might be my favourite film of the year so far.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's just because I like horror films in general or just there's just something about it that just... I think I kind of went in knowing I'd like it after seeing the trailer. Thought, okay, this looks right up my alley kind of thing. And then coming out, I was like, well, I think it's after the ending, which we'll talk about later on, because it is an ending that would spoil the film if we...
Yeah.
But I just think after that ending, I was so just like shocked and in my seat and I didn't want to move for a while. I just wanted to sit there and think about what I'd just seen. And I was like, I loved that. That was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I definitely had that kind of similar sense. And I would say, you know, horror isn't my usual bag. Yeah. So I didn't go in thinking I was going to love it. I probably went in thinking, I'm going to endure this, but actually I really didn't. I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
It keeps you like thinking the whole way through.
Definitely,
definitely.
I think part of that is also the dialogue, because it is written essentially, it says there's a weird text at the end that says this film was, it just talks about how the film was researched and is all authentic, and they read actual diaries of people from this time.
Yeah, and I sort of read that they lifted quite a lot from transcripts of the witch trials and stuff
definitely.
Like that.
So you think you get that?
Yeah, it takes you a second to settle into that way of that pattern of speech. It's very archaic, but it's so indicative. It's
almost like another language. I mean, you understand it, but it's like watching Shakespeare.
Yeah, it is.
You kind of have to think, I know what these words are, it's just, what?
Yeah.
A little bit. But
I think it would benefit from a second watch because of that as well.
Yeah, you get used to it, and I think you kind of, you've seen enough films to understand what certain plot points are and what's happening in the narrative. But yeah, it is slightly alien at times, and that...
But
gets you thinking more.
I think it adds as well to the kind of the sense of disquiet maybe amongst it, because it's not an everyday language.
Definitely, yeah. So you say you're not really a horror fan as such. Is that because you think they're not very good or because you're a scaredy cat?
I'm a bit of a scaredy cat. Well, I was saying I don't want to be too scared to walk home afterwards.
Yeah.
And I definitely wasn't too scared to walk home. I think I'm just not a fan of it's not that I don't think it's very good. I'm just not a fan of the constant jump and feeling terrified.
Which this film doesn't have.
No, it doesn't.
There's no jump scares, really.
There's one. I did fly off my seat.
There's maybe a couple that are a bit low. But I think there's not because you get a lot of horror films where it builds up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's definitely not
and
like that.
And then it's just a cat.
Yeah.
But quiet, 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 bang, which is Paranormal Activity films, which I think have their charm and they work and they're fun, but it's quite easy to do that.
Yeah.
Just be quiet and then bang on a wall every now and then.
It's scary in a much more subtle way than that.
Yeah, definitely. This is more eerie and atmospheric and moody.
I think the music does a lot for that as well.
Yeah, the music's really just in the background. It's not like there's a motif or a theme or anything like that. It's just this kind of constant...
sort of presence of it, which is, I think, is quite similar to the constant presence of threat that
definitely,
they have.
Yeah. So... I don't think this is a spoiler to say that, because if you've watched the trailer, you'll know. But I think one of the things that I love the most about it is the film's so objective.
Mm-hmm.
There's not... Because in horror films, especially these kind of more artier horror films, the ones that are actually trying to make an interesting film rather than just a ghost train, you often get ambiguity with, is this supernatural or is it real? Is it in the character's head? Is what's happening and this and that?
You didn't think that it had that?
Not as much as I thought it would.
Really?
Because I loved it that within the first 10 minutes, there's a witch. They're being stalked by a witch.
That's so funny.
Are you?
Yeah, because I actually think that it was really ambiguous.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I wondered, I thought a lot about how much is this their own visions of what they think rather than them actually actually shown.
Well, there's a particular scene that I think we'll talk about in the last 10 minutes when we talk about the spoilery stuff.
Yes.
Which definitely, if you listen to this part of the podcast, want to see the film, then come back into the last 10 minutes or whatever, we'll let you know when we're about to go into spoiler territory. But there's a particular scene that I think absolutely grounds this film in this objective reality where, yes, there's a witch and she is a proper witch.
That's interesting. I just really, equally right. I spent a lot of the film going, knowing the time period, knowing that at that period of time, they were trying people for witches and it was all kind of hysteria and people that kind of just over-egged everything that happened around them, and it went mad, and we look back at it and we think, oh, how awful that they did these things. So I was thinking a lot of the time, oh, how much is he playing with the fact that this is all just like hype and hysteria?
There was a lot of hysteria, yeah. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. So I spent a long time going, is this just their imagination?
Because I think after this scene where you the audience see the witch, but the characters have yet to actually know there's a witch.
Yes.
And they talk, because it's about the child going missing. And then after that, the girl, Thomasin, played by Anya Taylor-Joy, is having a nightmare. The mum's screaming in her bed. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be like a week later, but there is this kind of, no one knows what's happened.
Yes.
And that's made worse by the fact that they're on their own in the middle of nowhere. There's not a community to help them through this. It's just them.
Yeah, the isolation is one of the scariest parts of it, isn't
Absolutely,
it?
Definitely. So he talks about the wood. Don't trust the wood. The wood's kind of a character in itself, I thought.
I agree with you, yeah.
Completely surrounds the family at all times. And whenever someone goes in the woods, it doesn't end well.
It does not.
It builds and builds. And I'm looking around and you live quite close to a wood.
I live in the middle of some woods. I was saying this to you as I was leaving. Yeah. I was like, I've got to walk through the woods. And I think I'm going to walk on the road on the way home. Yeah. But hopefully there's nothing lurking in those woods.
Hopefully not. Also, there's a lot of animals in the film. And we said that we saw Zootropolis earlier, mm-hmm. which has a lot of adorable animals. There's a bunny rabbit policewoman who's adorable, and there's little hamster things.
Everything's cute in Zootropolis.
And bright-eyed, and then here the animals are.
Well, we got another bunny pretty much straight away.
We get a bunny who immediately I didn't trust.
Yeah, the look in the bunny's eyes.
There's also a fairly useless dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But there's only one animal that you need to talk about after this film. And this animal has a name.
Yes.
Black Philip, who has his own Twitter account.
Does he actually? Yeah. Oh, goodness. I've got to follow Black Philip. He's terrifying.
That's the family goat. It's a big black goat. And
I didn't actually realise that goats are the symbol of the devil.
Yeah. Goats are often associated with Satanism and devilry.
Mm.
There's a lot of... Yeah, I think it was...
And a black goat, especially. Yeah,
with a horned male.
Well, yeah. The horns.
And that's because you've got the image of the traditional image of Satan is that he has cloven heels and goat legs and is horned. So goats are associated with the devil, but that's again sort of 17th century hysteria about witches and superstition. However, Black Philip is a damn scary goat.
He is. He's scary the whole way through.
He comes
around the corner.
There's a bit where the because there are twins in the film.
Always scary. Which twins
immediately signifies creepy.
Yeah,
and especially twins wearing, like, they look like they're wearing adult clothes as well, and they were just so creepy.
Something about them, wasn't
there? Yeah, there was just something about them I didn't trust. And there's a bit where they're like playing with the goat, and the goat's like running along, but there's something really horrible about it.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
He just looks out of control, and my mum has a fear of goats I think one ate her cardigan when she was younger.
Apparently quite a lot of people have a fear of goats.
And I get it now.
Yeah.
They are creepy, I'll admit. They just have a weird look in their eyes.
I think none of the goats in this film were cute. I have seen cute goats. Fainting goats are cute.
Fainting goats are adorable.
These goats, sinister.
Yeah,
something shifty
sinister.
Going on there. It's like they were plotting.
And he's called Black Philip.
Yeah.
Which is not a kindly name.
No, it's not.
It's not a name that an animal in Zootropolis would be called.
No.
Mr. Otterton.
Oh, Mr. Otterton.
So another thing that I found really creepy about the film, there's this one bit where someone finds a house in the woods. I'm not going to say any more about it than that, but that moment, I think my heart was, because I was just, oh God, oh God, oh God. And the camera lingers on it for so long. And I'm like, cut, please, please someone shot cut.
That bit was truly terrifying. Ooh. Actually, all the things that surround that house in the woods were truly terrifying.
it is a scary film. I think but it's not the kind of scary, it's not like, oh, the killer's in the house, or...
No, it's just unsettling, isn't it?
So unsettled, you're so... don't feel safe at any point.
And it's when you... I always find most scary is when you don't trust other people.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot
people
of that.
People not acting themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Yeah, I actually read a quote from someone from Empire magazine saying that the film was a beautifully bleak brain worm that will haunt you for days.
I think that's nailed it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Ooh. just makes you shudder. Just so many images in the film.
Yes.
The film deals a lot in imagery.
Well, I think that I was thinking about his background, Robert Eggers, is in theatre and in particularly like theatrical design. And I think you can see that
you
a lot.
You definitely get that vibe from him, yeah. He deals, yeah, rather than, because we said the dialogue's important, but the film is mainly expressed through imagery. Mm. And the imagery here is a lot of, without going into too much detail, the sort of perversion and corruption of innocent things like a rotten apple, for example, plays a part in it. And there's a, they're just, we'll go into more detail about this, but just the idea of things that should be nice and normal are not.
Yes.
And have been corrupted. And
things
perverted.
Being out of place and doing things they shouldn't
should
be doing.
Should not be doing, yeah. Right, so let's move on to the acting in the film, which, and I think it's a hard film for actors because of the dialogue to actually know, if like, it's impressive if an actor does Shakespeare in that kind of vein that, okay, not only are you acting a different time period with a completely different, essentially, different language.
Yeah.
And for a lot of the actors, especially for Anya Taylor-Joy, who, if you've heard in interviews, is, I think her parents were American-Argentinian?
Yes, she's lived between the UK and Argentina, but was born in America.
So her accent is a kind of smorgasbord of different languages and accents. But yeah, if you hear it, she's got a kind of slightly American-y twang. So she's putting on an accent, but it's really impressive.
It's
in this
very
good.
And she's very young, too. She's 19, it's her first film.
Yeah, she auditioned for the role of young Maleficent in Maleficent.
Ah,
but did not get it.
Interesting.
Yeah. But perhaps likely she didn't, because she would have been too big, perhaps, to do
to
this
do
small
film.
Little film. And she really carries it. It's about her, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, it's seen a lot through her eyes, isn't it?
I'd say she's the main character.
Yeah, I think so.
And her horror films do this a lot, where film it's got to be seen through the eyes of a child.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's not. She's about 14 or 15 in the film.
Yeah, there's a reference to the fact that she has just matured into
Begat
a woman.
The mark of woman.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a big deal.
Yeah. I think as well, horror films often have this thing where puberty awakens the supernatural in the way that it awakens all these different confusing feelings in people. It also, nature around these people acts differently, and it awakens things like, for example, Carrie, when she has her period and it sets off her telekinetic powers. And you've also, there's also myths that a poltergeist will target someone in puberty as well.
Oh, really?
But yeah, so...
Yeah, I think it's definitely interesting.
And her brother as well, played by Nick Scrimshaw, younger brother, but he is starting to develop sexually as well.
Yeah, you get that
not
sense,
not in a healthy way.
Yes.
Yeah.
There were a few times where I was like, wait, is that me looking at that weirdly? I was like, oh no, wait.
No, he kind of has a crush on his sister.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he is she is the only other female of his age around.
Yeah, I mean, he's in isolation.
It is weird, but it kind of makes sense.
I think in the context of where it is... I mean, and they're so repressed as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're taught day in, day out that, you know, they must
live... You were born in sin.
Yeah, you must abide by the rules. And I think, you know, that kind of repression and isolation, it's going to come out in strange ways.
Absolutely, yeah. But he's also very good. And then, as we mentioned earlier, Ralph Ineson is great as this...
Yeah.
He's kind of a scary patriarch, but at times he was kind of a nice dad.
Yeah, I think there was definitely a softness
some tenderness
about him,
to him
underneath. But, I mean, he was beyond by the book, by the Bible.
Yeah.
He, you know, he was the sort of figure of God within that small
absolutely,
community.
And I really want to talk about Kate Dickie as well. Because she was... I didn't expect much. I thought she might... Because she's not in the trailer much. I thought she might be sort of a sideline character. But she's in it a lot, the mother. And she's very good. I think she has a look about her that suits horror films.
Yes,
that doesn't sound like a compliment.
No, it is though. It is, because I actually think all of them did immense work of acting, just like with their face, just a look. Yeah, and you could just completely capture exactly what they were feeling. And I think she has a really hard role as the mother in this.
Often a thankless role in films. In another film, she would have, like I assumed, maybe slightly sidelined, not have much to do. But she's kind of the strongest character in a weird way.
She's has more control than you think she
would
have.
Definitely,
and she...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Kind of does dictate what happens, really.
She also, well, Kate Dickie is in Game of Thrones, and she has a pretty weird breastfeeding scene in that. And here again, without going into too much detail, there is a horrible breastfeeding scene.
Oh my word. I was not expecting it. It was truly horrifying.
So she's got a kind of a weird rep now.
Some dodgy breastfeeding happening. Let's get Kate Dickie in.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, great actors. Nice to see child actors do so well as well. It's a good year for child actors.
Yeah.
We had Room earlier.
God, he was great.
He was great. We had some impressive work in another horror film earlier this year, Goodnight Mummy. But, yeah, again, this carries on that trend. Mm-hmm. Really impressive child actors. So, anything to add before we move on to spoilers?
Maybe just like a summing up that it's really, really worth a watch.
Definitely,
unsettling, it's interesting. I think it holds a great mirror up to what such a doctrinated belief system can do. I think it definitely leaves you questioning.
Yeah, I think it's good for horror and non-horror fans as well, because it is so, it's very thematically interesting, and I think there's a lot to talk about with it as well. So, 100% see it. Potentially best film of the year so far for me.
Yeah, for Sam. I mean, I'm willing to say it could be up there.
Okay, so if you haven't seen the film, spoiler warning ahead. Right. So in the first 5 minutes, so the baby goes missing.
Yeah, poor
in
Samuel.
That great moment where she's doing peekaboo, which is really well done.
Oh, and you knew something bad was going to happen. And you're just thinking, don't close your eyes.
Literally, so the baby's missing from where it was on the floor.
Yeah.
You see the red hooded figure carrying it away. Mm-hmm. And then you see the baby and this horrible hand is just sort of playing with it, and then it grabs a knife.
Oh god, that was the worst bit, Sam. I think that was the worst bit for me in the whole film. That poor, beautiful little baby just lying there, and the withered hand across its stomach.
And then it grabs a knife. And the moment you put a knife near a baby, it's immediately like, what is going on? Stop it.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, it's being pulped.
Just,
you don't literally see it, but you see...
No, you don't, but it's horrible.
You know. It's being pulped and mashed into just...
And you know, maybe this is the reason I think the film was ambiguous, is because I was just so desperate for that
this
not to have really
happened.
it was just awful.
Yeah.
And then you see the witch like rubbing it all over herself.
It's so perverse.
So
we talked about that corruption of innocence, and this throws you in at the deep end of that theme, because an infant. That just mashed infant is being rubbed on a naked witch.
By the moonlight.
By the moonlight, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't so awful to watch, it was gorgeous to watch in the way it was
it's
shot.
It's so well done. That sequence of... And you've got this whole kind of...
Yeah.
This kind of weird drum with violin stuff going on. And it's just so... It's so loud, the music then. And you're so overwhelmed with what's happening.
Yeah.
It happens so, like, bluntly.
God, I could barely watch it.
Yeah.
That was definitely peak scary for me.
Yeah, that is the... So the thing she makes with the baby is actually a genuine mythical thing they believe witches used.
No.
Flying potion.
Oh, really?
That they would rub that on themselves. And a lot is often referred to as like a hallucinogenic.
Oh.
In like research, they think, witches, witches would make this potion, you know, And it was rumoured to have, oh, it's made with babies, you know, kind of this rumour that witches would eat cute children and make them into potions.
Make them more horrifying.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And the rumour was that they'd use it to fly. Which kind of makes sense.
It does make sense.
Because in the bit where she's in the moonlight, she is flying. I mean, it doesn't really look like that, but I think she is.
I was wondering, I thought maybe it was making her young, but...
I've heard that as well, because there isn't... that I've seen later with when the boy discovers the house, which is horrifying,
oh,
and then
a
young
witch.
This is your worst bit, isn't it? This is my worst bit. The worst... I don't know if it's my worst bit, but it might be, just because, A, I really wanted to stop. When he discovers the house, I just went...
You're like, run away!
I just went... Oh. Like, I mean, a breath came out of me like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the end for him.
Yeah.
And then this, young, attractive woman comes out, completely different to the witch we saw earlier on. So, maybe there is something there that
it's
made her younger.
Yeah, but her hand.
It's her hand. So, she kisses him, which, I mean he's like 10 or 11, and there's just something about that.
I don't know if that didn't feel awful to me, because of, like, the way he treats his sister.
Maybe.
That he's thinking about that kind of stuff.
I think the witch knows he's thinking about that stuff as well. She's playing on that.
Interesting.
And
kind of
like, she knows what will entice
feeding
him.
Feeding off of
this
his sin.
Young pubescent boy. Yeah, that's a good phrase. Mm-hmm. And she just kisses him, and I was like, oh, no. And then that's kind of the biggest jump scare, I guess, is the hand. But the hand is the creepy hand at the beginning, grabs the back of his head, and it's,
And then you're just left, and you don't know, is he coming back?
Well, unfortunately he does come back, but he is not well. He's completely naked and kind of possessed in a weird way, and witched, they call it. He's been witched.
He's been witched, he's got the devil in him. And I think that's a bit when I was thinking, okay, is, like, I was still going, is this real? Is this the hysteria? Mm. Like, has he really been possessed by that witch?
Something,
is that
yeah.
just everyone's kind of imagination of
or
what's happened?
Or something else happened to him in the woods and he's just sick.
And because of the hysteria of that time of witches, of being possessed, like, had he worked himself up to that frenzy? But, you know, upon reflection, I don't think so. I think he had really been possessed by the witch.
I think as well, I think this is the first time you see something genuinely supernatural happen, is he throws up an apple. A whole apple.
Gross, wasn't it? Oh, and when his jaw is, like,
clamped
down.
Oh, and they have to try and pry open his jaw to stop him biting his teeth off.
I thought they were going to, like, break his jaw in half. Yeah, and this... Is it a rotten apple?
It's a rotten apple, which I think is... There's a couple of things. Immediately when you put an apple in a film, Adam and Eve, Original Sin, and there's a lot about sin in the film. Mm-hmm. There's a rotten apple. So again, corruption of something pure.
And
also
the fairy tales again. Back to that.
Like Snow White. Don't eat an apple by a witch. And as well, him and the dad, when they go off hunting, they lie to the mum. They say, oh, we weren't hunting. We were trying to pick apples for you. I thought maybe the witch knows this,
and
it's kind of mocking them openly. Mm. Like, you lied to your mother about apples, so here's an apple for your mother, kind of thing.
Mm.
But yeah, this makes it even more horrible.
Mm.
One of the other surprising moments that you told me not to mention until the spoiler part is that Black Phillip can talk.
Oh, yeah.
And Black Phillip has been the devil the whole time.
Yeah.
Which was great. It's so good.
That was a shock for me.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't tell anyone before,
because
I think that is a shock. I just did not think he was going to speak.
When he does, he's got such a great voice.
Yeah, are you going to do an impression, Sam?
I might do. You'll
think about it.
No. No,
I can't do it.
It's like a whispery growl.
It says,
would you like to live deliciously?
It's a choice of words, isn't it? Deliciously.
Deliciously.
I was I would.
Well, that's, so her family, they all die.
Well, they are massacred.
Yeah, the baby's pulped.
What?
The boy throws up the apple, has this weird moment where he sort of comes back to life and confesses his love to Christ, which is an amazing scene in terms of acting.
Oh, yeah.
This young boy is doing this. And part of me also thinks, is that the witch mocking their religion? Because he's so over the top with loving Christ.
And I know, and they think he's been saved at that point, don't they?
Yeah. So again, I thought, is that just more of the witch mocking the family? And then he's stone cold dead. Then the twins, you don't really know what happens to the twins. Because there's a bit where, the dad believes Thomasin and the twins are all evil witches.
Yeah.
And kind of tests.
Well, they're kind of tearing themselves apart, that family, at that point, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all accusing each other of being witches. And
Because Thomasin, earlier in the film,
makes kind of angrier
anger and also that kind of like petulance of of being that age of being like, oh, I'm the witch, and doesn't even kind of think of the repercussions of that in the context. And those twins, oh, they're in some collusion with the devil, aren't they?
Well, they talk to Black. They're the first ones to talk to Black Phillip. Yeah. And you immediately think, oh, it's just kids playing, but he really was talking to them. So they're all locked in the barn with Black Phillip, and then the witch somehow appears in the barn, suckling from one of the other goats.
That's horrible.
That's horrible. Yeah, and then it's great. I liked that she had a proper witch laugh as well.
Oh,
she
goes,
it's like, oh, good. Good for you for going that far. Yeah. And they kind of just go missing. But I'm not sure. Maybe they are dead in the barn. They just didn't want to show the dead bodies of these like 5-year-olds.
Yeah, maybe. Or are they?
I thought maybe they've been... Or maybe they were witches all along.
Maybe.
Or they've been taken and pulped because at the end of the film, the witches... Fire. Yeah, and the witches fly at the end.
They do. But that makes sense.
We'll get to that. The dad, played by Ralph Ineson, is killed by Black Phillip.
Oh my gosh.
Which is... bizarre.
That's when
someone killed by a goat.
Death by goat. Could you imagine that on like your certificate?
That's when, like, Black Phillip's evil.
He was <It's> not evil. It came from nowhere. He's just, you know, off to go and check out the scenery outside. Scenery being his like dead goats and his children missing. And next thing you know, you're impaled by Black Phillip out of nowhere.
That's a great scene. And I love it that he picks up the axe to fight back, but puts it down. And what he says, corruption be Vithava or something. As if, like, just, my family's had it. Like,
there's nothing
left to fight for, kind of.
Yeah, maybe that's kind of thinking that he didn't do the right thing by his family at that point.
Yeah, and he's just given up. He's like, oh, I don't deserve to fight for my life anymore. Yeah. That's it. I'm just going to let the devil take me. The mother attacks Thomasin, believing her to be the witch.
That's gruesome.
Hacks at her with a... sort of a little shovel kind of thing.
Yeah, some kind of... No, was it a knife that she had on her?
Some sort of implement, like a metal implement that she hacks away her head with.
Yeah, I'm glad... Although that was gross, I'm really glad it was shot from Thomasin's point of view.
Yeah.
Oh, not from her point of view, sorry. From above.
Rather,
that you don't see the kind of mashing of the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Thomasin's left alone and she confronts Black Phillip. Can you talk? And there's a bit of a pause and then he answers back.
Out of the shadows.
That was so like, okay, we're full on in mythical territory here. That this sort of stereotypical, all goats are evil. Goats are evil. This goat is evil. And then the devil appears in the film, in the shadows.
Yeah.
And he kind of, I think it's important that he looks a bit like the father.
Yeah, I thought he looked like the father too.
I'm not sure that, I don't think they're the same actor, but I think it's on purpose that they looked similar.
Similar kind of profile.
Yeah. And then he offers her a book to sign her name, and it's her signing, and she signs her soul to the devil, essentially makes a deal with him. And then there's this beautiful sequence where she's naked and she walks with Black Phillip through the woods.
That's really well done actually as well, the nudity at that point.
Yeah, it's very, it's kind of tasteful.
It's very
not,
tasteful.
It's not exploitative at all.
No, it's just natural more than anything.
And then she comes to the coven. The first time you see the full coven. And these naked women dancing around a fire. Again, it's not a... What I liked about this film is nothing was wholly original in that way. In like, these are all folk tales that witches dance naked around fires and goats are the devil and apples are poisonous and things. It just goes, you know what they are.
Yeah, go with it.
This hysteria was, you know, based on facts. There was a reason these people were so scared of witches because this actually did happen, which was really nice, I thought.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I meant when I was like, I love the objectivity that, let's give in to these myths and folklore.
Yeah, and I think actually it's more I was going in with...
Yeah, thinking... there can't be a witch or like...
Yeah, and I think if you do just accept to begin with...
Yeah,
that
I think it is... Yeah, I think there are points that are ambiguous. Like, so at the end of the film... Thomasin, having signed her soul to the devil, the witches begin to fly, which was so bizarre to watch that. And then Thomasin flies herself and she's kind of laughing.
And she's joined them.
And so she's joined the coven and the film ends. So it ends with Thomasin joining this, becoming a witch. And I've heard some things that think Thomasin was the witch all along.
I don't buy that. Yeah. No, I don't think she was.
I think the title, The Witch, is about Thomasin. I think because it's all about her becoming the witch. Because I think the actual witch we see, it could be two different women. It could be any of those. So I don't think there is... I think Thomasin is the witch.
I think... I don't know, maybe I was thinking that a lot of the film was about the fact they wanted her.
Yeah, and the whole film's geared around the devil tempting this young, attractive girl to join them.
Yeah.
I think you agree with you there, yeah.
And kind of, as she was going towards them, I was thinking, you know, aside from, like, the baby murder and that kind of stuff, I mean, it looked like they were having a lot better time than she was having before.
Yeah. Do you think there's a kind of slight feminist edge to that? That
maybe.
She goes off because her family are talking about selling her to live with another family, just getting rid of her like she's just...
And all she does is,
and all she does is work and look after kids and
wash her dad's clothes and...
Yeah. So do you think maybe that she goes off and she's kind of now got the ideal feminine family in a way?
Sisterhood, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like they were having a great time out there.
I mean, they were probably covered in the blood and bones of dead children.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, maybe so.
But I think there is something to that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only other thing I thought there was is that she's gone from one male figure
to another. That's the thing. Because, well, there's a kind of, if you want to go full sort of Freudian, Jungian theory, there is this thing that her father is essentially her lover.
Yeah.
And there's the bit where the mum says, oh, I've seen the way our son looked at you and the way, and the father, like, she sort of accuses Thomasin of trying to seduce the father.
Yeah. Trying to draw him
in. And I think the fact that the dad is killed by Black Philip, who is Satan, it's kind of like one lover is replaced by another.
Mm.
So you could see, and there's this whole thing of witches, they sleep with the devil, have massive orgies with the devil. So I think there is that slight edge. But yeah, you're right, it is one male patriarch replaced by another.
Yeah.
And that's perhaps what
another way of looking at it.
Yeah, another comment from the film as well, that just life is just one patriarch replaced by another patriarch. That's all it is. Just a
continuation.
A vicious circle. Yeah, the ending's very much like kind of, it reminded me of The Wicker Man, the way that everything comes together at the end. This kind of, all the supernatural things have just been like, yeah, you know what, they're all true.
Mm-hmm.
The village is evil. Kill List as well, this kind of like weird pagan type ritual happening. So it's very Ben Wheatley in that respect as well. It's similar to A Field in England, with the kind of just surrounded by this dark, evil forest that you don't really know what's going on. And there is a painting by Goya called Witches in Air. And if anyone's seen the Danny Boyle film Trance, that's the painting that's stolen. And it is... have a look, because it's this image of these witches floating in the air. And there's like an evil donkey. And it did kind of remind me... I think the ending, as soon as I saw the witches floating up, I was like, that reminds me of that painting. So I think Robert Eggers is a very smart man.
Yeah.
And knows his culture. And as you said, his background in theatre, I think you've got to be quite smart and cultured to go from one... medium to another.
Yeah, it was very accomplished in all of that as well, and it seemed like he really knew what he was doing.
The devil is literally in the detail.
Yeah.
So, any final points before we finish?
Well, I mean, at this point, everyone's seen the film if they're still listening. Final points. I don't know. I mean, I guess I think it was pretty great. A great first feature film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting look at that period of time, because I think it's so easy to look at that period of time and go, oh, weren't they so stupid for believing in all of that?
Yeah.
And I don't think it does that at all.
Yeah, I think it could have gone down that route, but decided not to, yeah.
No, what about
you? Absolutely agree. I think it 100% achieves what it sets out to do, to show you this weird time when... at the beginning, it's like this weird time when people were, like you said, people were superstitious and, oh, look how silly they are, but no, there was a reason. Absolutely loved it. Really great horror film.
Yeah.
And it's been a good year for horror films so far. We had Goodnight Mummy earlier. I hope we can keep it up. Don't go in the woods.
Yeah, I won't be doing that for a while.
So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week, and please see The Witch as soon as you can. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.